Hey there, this is Terry Cowley, weekday breakfast presenter on 1FM Shepparton. Thanks for checking out this podcast. It was recorded live as part of the Brekkie Show, which you can catch 6 to 9am Monday to Friday. That split ends with History Never Repeats, and of course that is our cue to catch up with our resident historian, John Gribben. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Terry.
And happy 2022 to you. I can't get my tongue around that. It's a bit of a tongue to 2022.
It's the same to you. It's very hard, I must admit. Yeah, it's a bit of a tongue twister.
It takes me about a whole year to get used to actually saying that year, and then by that time it's the next year.
Yeah. Thankfully, we only have to worry about this once a year.
I guess so. What have you got for us today, John?
Terry, this is an interesting one today, and it's probably something that's little known about, and you'll understand why in a minute. This goes back to World War II, and it talks a little bit about the Japanese that broke out of the Kaura camp. Now, I should give you some background here, and they all end up in near Murchison, but that's where we're going to go with it. And I'm just going to... It sets it up for another story that later on, but I just need to give you a little bit of background on this one, and you'll hear a little bit of the story, and you'll think, oh, gee, I've never heard of that before, but and there's reasons why you probably haven't heard it, but... let me go through. Now, for those that don't know, in 1944, on the 5th of August, at about 2 a.m. in the morning at a place called Kaura in the middle of New South Wales, there was a large prisoner of war camp there. And they had about 4,000 enemy prisoners there. They had, I think, Italians. I'm not sure if they had Germans there, but they certainly had Japanese there. And at 2 a.m. in the morning, a bugle was sounded from the Japanese quadrant, or one of the quadrants, and 1,100 Japanese tried to break out of the prison. Now, what they did was they stormed some of the fences, they set fire to all their cabins, they actually attacked a couple of Australian guards and killed them. They killed a lot of their own countrymen, and eventually they ended up with all these people... I think it was about 360 or so were just scattered around the countryside. So it was one of the largest mass breakouts during World War II. It's just an incredible thing that happened in New South Wales. But my father, who was alive at the time, in fact, he was in his early 30s, he was in Shepparton at the time. And after they captured the Japanese... They were put on trucks and they were sent down to Murchison to Camp 13, which was Victoria's largest high security prison during the war years. And that prison was located halfway between the Murchison Township and the Warringah Basin, sort of roughly halfway. Anyhow, so a lot of them got shipped down to Shep. And anyhow, I remember my father, before he passed away, he said to me, I saw the Japanese on the trucks coming through Shepparton. I said, oh, yeah. And he goes, oh, gee, John, I think the Australians might have given him a bit of a flogging. I said, why do you say that? He goes, oh, he said, they all had broken arms, black eyes, broken noses. He says, you know, and they looked in a terrible state. And, of course, they'd been driving on dirt roads from Kaura to Shepparton, so that probably wouldn't help. They would have been covered in dust as well. But I never gave any more thought to that until I travelled to Kaura and heard a tape of a guard who was on that night. And the guard said, look, we all got called in 2 o'clock in the morning and said, you know, there's all these Japanese are all out in the countryside and they've already killed a number of our men, and we have to go and round them up. And he said the first order that they gave us to go and round all these Japanese up was to hand in our guns. And we had to hand in our guns. So we collected all those Japanese without any guns. And he said, and that saved many, many lives. And I found out later why that was. Turns out that Kaura was near a training facility and there were young people there, young army trainees, and they weren't really versed in war or the handling of guns. And the last thing they wanted to do was have a Japanese soldier wrestle a gun off an Australian soldier and use it against them. And so really that's what they probably did do, is they probably did save many, many lives.
But they basically had to beat them up to subdue them.
Well, that's what I realised. After that point, I thought to myself, well, okay, if they didn't have guns, and these guys really wanted to die, they were quite fanatical, the Japanese.
Kamikaze.
Well, kamikaze, they would have had to have taken with them tyre levers, you know, and axe handles, and that's they probably would have beaten them to within an inch of their life before recapturing them. Now, so that actually makes a little bit of sense now that when my father told me that. What's interesting about it too is that when they got to Murchison, they were very, very belligerent. In fact, at one point, the way the camp system worked is we basically supplied them supplies, food and supplies, and they had to do everything themselves. And we guarded them. So they'd have to cook all the food, they'd have to arrange all their recreation, they'd have to do everything internally. But he said they were very, very belligerent. My father said that they'd do things like hang their washing up on the outside fence. And they said, no, don't go near that fence. Because this is basically what happened in Cowra. They just rushed the fence and threw clothing and what have you over it, and then they just ran over the top. But normally, too, they were asked to do work parties. So while you were in prison, sometimes you got the opportunity to go out and cut firewood or something, which would get you out of the walls of the prison. Well, the Japanese never had that in Murchison. What happened was one of the delivery trucks came in to deliver goods, and a garrison member was following on the truck. And one of the Japanese soldiers took to him with a baseball bat and smashed his shoulder. So from that point on, there was they never left the confines of the prison walls that they had, the barbed wire fencing. They never left that at all in Murchison. So it was very, 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 very interesting how they reacted and what they did. It's interesting too, they doubled up all the guards around Murchison, and when they went into a compound after this event, they'd always go in twos, and if they went in twos, one would carry a gun and the other would carry a pick handle. Now, I've heard this from a number of people over the years, but what I found really interesting is that the women that worked at the camp, and there were women, Australian women worked in the administration, typing and what have you, they were also locked up as well in a separate compound, and their guards were doubled up as well. And I found out later that while they were concerned about prisoners breaking out of the prison and sort of making their way towards the women, they're also worried about some of the Australian soldiers, because we were so depleted of manpower during the years that we were getting soldiers that were probably not of the highest character quality that we might have had. And so they made sure all the women were looked after as well. But the one thing that they also had to do is they created two concrete fortified machine gun posts just to look over the Japanese at Camp 13 as well. One of those still stands, believe it or not, where they had a Vickers machine gun in it. But that is what happened in Shepparton. And it sort of makes, with the the prisoners coming through, a lot of that makes a lot of sense. But few people would really understand that those fanatical Japanese soldiers were in this area. But they certainly were. And now that I've told you this, in a few weeks' time, I will tell you another story that leads on to this, which becomes even more amazing once you know this story. So look forward to that.
We're doing a series.
Well, we will in this case, because this is a really interesting one, but I need to set up where the Japanese were before we do the next lot.
Okay.
You'll be pretty impressed when you hear the next story. It'll be
always impressed, John. So headline for today, Cowra breakout comes to Murchison.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, John. Look forward to hearing the next instalment in a fortnight.
Good on you, Terry.
And all the best for 2022.
It's time to wake up to sleep at the Footy Winks Stock Take Sale and save up to 50% off store-wide. Save up to half price on leading brand mattresses, including Serta, King Cole Chiropractic, Sealy Posturepedic and Tempur, as well as bedroom furniture, kids' beds and more. Don't miss the chance to get up to 50% off store-wide. But hurry, the Footy Winks Stock Take Sale is on for a limited time only.
Sponsors Footy Winks, Riverside Plaza, Shepparton.
Ardmona Primary School takes pride in providing every child an opportunity in learning with highly qualified and passionate staff from the local area. Check us out. Search Ardmona Primary School online and take our virtual tour. Our culture is clear and present in all aspects of the school. Our school takes a lead in supporting individualised student learning programs and is known as one of the most popular schools in the local region. Search Ardmona Primary School today or find us on Facebook. Ardmona Primary School, where you'll find fun, friendly students and one big family.
Station sponsor.
I love springtime, the warm sunshine and the beautiful flowers, but it's also the start of spider and snake season. Baby spiders are hatching right now, so it's the perfect time to get your house sprayed for spiders. Our technicians are COVID vaccinated and follow a strict COVID safe plan. At Jason's Pest Control, we only use the best and safest chemicals to treat your entire home inside and out, including your fences and rubbish bins. So don't let spiders invade your home. Book a spider spray now. Jason's Pest Control, 1800 599 699, or find us on Facebook.
Station sponsor.
Station sponsors McNamara Real Estate are now servicing the entire Goulburn Valley area. Our proud local family-run business is pleased to offer you a comprehensive service that comes with decades of local real estate experience between our team and is the region's best value agency, offering the area's only all-inclusive capped price commission rates. That's right, capped price commission. So if you're considering selling your home, please contact McNamara Real Estate on 5831 6405. That's 5831 6405. Or visit us at mcnamararealestate.com.au.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.